Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the privilege of calling us to be the church. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather here to worship this day. And we pray that as we are here, that we might sense your peace and your presence, so that we might calm our hearts to just feel that warmth of being in communion with you. Help us to put away our preoccupations, our worries for the day, and for what lies ahead in this week, so that we might focus upon you and you alone. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are looking at a series called The Church. The Church Is. Last week, Reverend Yum looked at the church as a community of believers, a fellowship of believers. And this week, we're looking at the church as a place to call home. And so as we gather here today, we want to think about this concept of the church. When we have missionaries here, for example, and we are in communion and conversation with the missionaries, we might say to them, how is the church going? And when we say that, we think of the church as this universal body of believers around the world. Or we might come upon the completion of General Conference, or come upon the completion of jurisdictional conference, and we say, and what's the church doing now? And we're talking about a denomination, the United Methodist Church. Or we may narrow it down a little bit more and say, I'm a part of First United Methodist Church of Midland, and now we're talking about a local congregation, a group here. But for me, I also use the word church in a lot of different ways. At my house on Monday morning, when I say to my wife, Della, I'm going to church now, it means I'm going to work. Or if it's a Monday morning, I may say, well, I'll see you at church a little bit later. And then we're talking about seeing each other at Bible study. Or if we're on Sunday morning and I say, well, I'm getting ready to go to church, what I'm referring to is being here for worship. So we use that word church in a lot of different ways. And sometimes we just use the word and we just expect everybody else to know what context we are using that word church to be. But today I would like us to think of the church as this place that we call home. Remember what Pastor Yum told us. The church is the fellowship of believers. The church, another phrase we might be, is a community of faith, the family of God. We're the people. Even though we talk about a church as a place to gather, a place that we gather to worship. You know what? I'd much rather stand here right now than, say, a half hour ago. A half hour ago, as the band's up here practicing, they're looking out over a bunch of empty pews. We're in a gathering place, but a half hour later, we're now the church. Church together. And one of the calls that Hebrews calls us to is that as a church, we are to gather together. Did you hear that very last verse? It says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as the day approaches. encouraging one another to gather together to be in worship. The one time we get together more than any other time of the week is Sunday morning. And we gather for the purpose to worship. The gathering together. Now I know there, as Hebrews says, they face the same issue in terms of church attendance. It says some are in the habit of neglecting to attend. That call we see in our world today, many who will neglect the opportunity to gather to worship. But we gather, and I think as we gather, there's a couple things I hope happens. One thing I hope as we gather for worship that in our mind, we're thinking about how God has sustained us and brought us through this past week. What are the things you have dealt with in the past week, and yet you are here, and we give God thanks for the strength for the things that we've accomplished, the things that we've done, good or the struggles of when we've had hard times, that God was with us. The second thing I hope that when we gather here is that we gather to meet Jesus Christ. So that's part of my prayer every Sunday morning before I ever come to this building, is I'm praying that as every person who gathers and walks through these doors may meet Jesus Christ so that we would be strengthened for the week ahead. And that's my hope, is that we gather to experience the presence of God, that we would experience the grace of Jesus Christ being poured out upon our lives, that we may be renewed, that we would be reconciled, we would be transformed, and then that the Holy Spirit would be upon us so that we go out to face whatever it is in this coming week, that we know I can face it because I met Jesus today. And I've been renewed to be able to deal with whatever comes our way this coming week. That's why Hebrews says we need to encourage one another to gather together, to be able to find that strength. And he goes on, I don't know if you caught some of those phrases. He says, let us hold fast to that confession of faith. Well, there are times that we need to be encouraged to hold on to that confession of faith, that confession of hope. There are times we need that. I mean, have you ever had those times? I have. Where you're kind of discouraged, you've kind of been beat down from whatever the week has had. I need to be able to gather together with others who will encourage me, who will pump me up, whether it's through the singing of the songs and maybe the tune that sticks with me throughout the week, or maybe it's even a phrase out of that song that will give me encouragement, or maybe it's something that the pastor says speaking that might even be totally out of context to what the pastor's saying, but it speaks to my heart for the moment that gives me some encouragement. That's why we gather together, so that we would have that hope, that we could claim that hope once again. He continues, he says, not only do we hold on to that confession of hope, he says, let us consider how we may provoke one another to love and good deeds. I need to come together at times. I'll confess there are times that I get so caught up in what I'm doing, and sometimes that can be stressful, like all of us that have stress in our lives. And there are times we get focused on self, of what we need to do. The gathering together sometimes is helpful because we need that little prod. Did you catch how strong that word was? To provoke one another to love and good deeds. Other translations use the word prod, or to spur. Now, I grew up on a farm, and I know what it's like to prod a cow to make it move where it needs to go. It's not always a pleasant experience for the cow. And sometimes I don't necessarily want to be prodded into love and good deeds, but I need that. I need someone to encourage me. Yes, provoke me to start doing something, get my eyes off myself and out onto people, of where I can use my gifts and my energy to make a difference for somebody's life. And I'm guessing I'm not alone in that. That we all need the gathering together as the people of God, the community of faith, the fellowship of believers, to encourage us to love one another, but also then to prod us to move forward, to make a difference in our world. We need that gathering together. And so we gather in a place, but it's the people. Now we have two examples, two different examples I want to give to you this morning. One of those, John Engler's already shared with us during prayer time. This past week, Pastor Yum's home church in South Korea, sanctuary burned to the ground. 3,000 people gather there every Sunday for worship. And now their church has been destroyed. Oh, wait a minute. Their church building was destroyed. The church is still strong. Now, they have an education wing at that building, and they're gathering there today to worship, figuring out the space and what they're going to do in the future. But friends, that church is alive and well. Contrast that to a worship service that I was invited to 7 months ago, the last Sunday in December. A church that I served for many years, the Brant United Methodist Church. And I gathered there with others that morning for their last worship service. And then after the worship service, there was a service of decommissioning. And one by one, those items from the altar Bible, the altar cloth, the altar cross, all of those things were carried down the center aisle and out of the building as that church closed its doors and ceased to be a church. However, if you are driving down Hemlock Road and come to that small community of Brant, you're still going to see a building there, and my guess is that the sign, Brant United Methodist Church, still stands out front. There's a building that bears the name, but the Brant United Methodist Church no longer exists. See the contrast? It's not the building that makes the church, it's the people. And my guess is, having served that small community, that there were probably a lot of people in that little community that said, wait a minute, you can't close that church. That's the only church we have in Brant. You can't close that. And the response would be, some have neglected the habit of gathering together. And in the process, attendance and resources and everything else of that church continued to fade until they couldn't make it anymore. So let me ask you, where do we want to head as a church? We gather in this building, but we as a people, I desire that we would be as alive and vibrant as any other congregation in the world. Yes, I desire it even more so. That we would be a church that would make a difference in our world and in our community. That we would gather together to strengthen each other and encourage each other to move forward. Now let me give a little twist on this. We call the church a community of faith, fellowship of believers, the family of God. We often talk about the church being our family, our church home, and we gather together. Families need to come together. Families need time to strengthen relationships, to catch up with each other, to share burdens. Yesterday, I had the privilege of most of my brothers and sisters and spouses gathering at my house for a cookout. We try to get together every so often. We don't always do a very good job, but if we get together twice a year, we've had a pretty successful year of being together as a family. We need each other. We need that opportunity. But see, one of the problems we ran into a few years ago, 10 years ago or so now, more than 10 years ago, my mom died. And then my dad died. See, gathering was at mom and dad's house. That was a gathering place. You have that, right? Where you gather at grandma and grandpa's house or mom and dad's house, or maybe it's at your house, and the family gathers together, whether it's a Sunday afternoon dinner or whether it's a holiday. And what do we gather around? The table. And we eat together. We lost our gathering place. And as brothers and sisters, we floundered on how we continue to connect because we don't have a gathering place. But that doesn't mean we're not family. We're still family and we still need each other to come together. And we have to keep what our focal point is. See, our focal point was always mom and dad before. And now we have to change our focal point to say, we're still brothers and sisters, and we still need to get together with our nieces and nephews and the cousins and all of that stuff so that we build the relationships. And I would say to us, and any congregation, any community of faith, we need to make sure we have our focus in the right place. Where is the focal point? We can gather in a gathering place, and we can gather for all kinds of programs and activities and church meetings, etc., but our focal point still has to have a primary purpose, and that purpose is Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ does in our lives and how Jesus Christ calls us to then go out into our world to make a difference. We as a church gather together because of Jesus Christ. That's our focal point, and that's what we are, that's what we need in our lives day by day so that Christ can give us the strength and the wisdom and the help to meet the needs that are ahead. Now, I want to push this one step further, and I know I'm starting to stretch here, okay? I'm starting to stretch. But this afternoon, there are a number of us who are going to show up at Dow Diamond. And we're going to gather in the stadium with hopefully a lot of other fans, and we're going to cheer on the Loons, and we're going to have a great time, yelling out the cheers and all of that. Hopefully a lot of runs being scored that we can cheer, even do the funky chicken and all of those kind of things. And we're going to hopefully have a great time together. What's that called for the Loons as a ball club? It's called home field advantage. When a team is able to come and play in front of their hometown fans, it gives them an extra boost. There are some teams that call their fans an extra player. It gives them extra strength on the field or the court as people gather to cheer them on. The home field advantage, the cheering, the celebration. Can I stretch it even a little further? Who's going to win today? The team that has the most of its players coming home. Yeah, first service took a long time to get that. I thought I was going to have to explain that a little bit. The team that's going to win is going to have the most players rounding those bases and coming across home plate. That's who's going to win. And I wonder for the Church of Jesus Christ today, the ones who are winning are the ones who have their people, their players, their participants, their family members gathering home so that they might be renewed and strengthened so that they can then go back out and make a difference. I don't know about you, but I can only be out there so long fully doing what God wants me to do until I need to come back here, back to the family, back to the being renewed and strengthened so that I can go back out again. And that's what we do as we gather at a place called home. Oh, and friends, I would so enjoy those days of worship where we could stand up and have as much excitement and energy in worship as what happens at a sporting event. As the crowds and the fans are cheering and shouting and singing fight songs at football games and the marching bands and all of those kind of things. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have that kind of enthusiasm and excitement in a worship service? Believe me, friends, there are times this band up behind me does a better job than some marching bands I've seen. That should empower us, fire us up to be renewed so that we can then go back out and make a difference. But there is a call upon our lives in this passage. First of all, I want to say thank you for being in this place we call home today. Thank you for being in worship. You know, I know in the summertime we could be all different kinds of places. Thank you for being here. Thank you for gathering as a family as a community of faith, as a fellowship of believers, to be together today. However, we all know people who, as Hebrews says, have been in the habit of neglecting being together, and we are called to encourage them to gather in this place we call home, to gather for worship. So that's the first call, to encourage others to worship, to invite them, to encourage them to share together. And then second of all, that we come with open minds and hearts so that we may feel the power and presence of God in our midst. So that we would know that we've met Jesus today. So that we can then provoke, prod, stir each other up to go out to love and do good deeds to make a difference in our world. It's one thing to be a part of a family and just keep everything to ourselves. But we are also a community of faith that continues to want to grow the community. And so we are called to go out and make a difference. That's my prayer for us, that we would continue to be inspired to gather in a place called church. I mean, the psalmist was filled with psalms of people gathering together in the temple that was called the house of God. It was important to gather together. But then it was important also to go out and make a difference. May that be true for us. I'm going to invite the band to come as we pray together. Gracious and loving God, oh, we say thank you for the ways that you touch our lives. You have challenged us, you have called us, you have inspired us to gather to worship you, that we might be encouraged and discover hope, that we might have that strength to renew us and inspire us so that we may be challenged to go out and make a difference in our world. So thank you for all that you give, for the depth of your love. Continue to pour out your Spirit upon us to renew us and strengthen us. For this we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please stand as you're comfortable, as we're reminded to come to church, come home, and also to come to Jesus. Let's sing it together. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.